I invite you to open your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, 4th chapter. We'll be looking at the first 11 verses, and according to Janine, we won't be looking at it for very long. Ah, the Word of God. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterward he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." And the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will give his angels charge of you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of this, his holy word. Again, will you join me in prayer? Let us pray. Gracious Lord, on this first Sunday of Lent, we thank you for your Son Jesus who withstood those temptations. Help us do the same, and help us hear your word and do as you say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." This morning we launch into the first Sunday in Lent. We read of Jesus and Satan interacting through the devil's three temptations. I like a guy in California. His name is Friedrich Brunner. He's a biblical scholar, and he reckons the three temptations this way. Nice way to think about them. First temptation, temptation of cheap miracles. Second temptation, temptation of cheap manipulation. And third temptation, temptation of cheap mastery. Jesus is able to say no to each temptation by remembering Scripture. Each temptation is defeated by a text that Jesus remembers, recalls from the book of Deuteronomy. Jesus knew his Scripture. The first temptation was for Jesus to be selfish, to turn stones into bread to eat. The devil wanted him to think only of himself. We can relate. We take the biggest slice of pizza, purchase the very best brand of basketball, have the prettiest clothes, or own the most number of video games of anyone in our neighborhood. Or if we're a little more adult, we may forsake the economy car for the more sporty SUV. Or maybe we can hold back to our giving to the church so we can have more money to eat out and go to movies. Jesus knows that simply living for our own wants, desires, and whims is not the way to achieve a meaningful life. only when we take the time to learn God's will and seek to do that will we find purpose and meaning in life. The second temptation is for all of us in the church who love to quote Scripture and often love to use our Scripture quoting as a hammer to hit people. The second temptation, the devil even quotes Scripture, that's right, in order to entice Jesus to throw himself off the pinnacle of the temple. Jesus says, "No, you are not to tempt the Lord your God." Jesus used a biblical text to undercut a misuse of other texts. Again, the devil wanted Jesus to do something spectacular for no good reason. Satan's use of Scripture did not honor God, nor did he attempt to build anybody up. That's a good clue that you're misusing Scripture. If you and I would only believe in God because of some miraculous event or operation or healing or some nighttime extravaganza in the sky, the most of the time we're going to be mildly disappointed in God's displays of his power. Jesus does not indulge in the spectacular on a regular basis. That should not be the basis of our faith, because Jesus can be a miracle worker. The third temptation has the devil asking Jesus to bow down and worship him. If Jesus will do this, Jesus can have all the kingdoms of the world. And again, Jesus quotes the book of Deuteronomy. "Out of here, Satan." Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 13 says, you shall serve the Lord God alone. Not worship anyone or anything else except God. Jesus' decision to be obedient to his Father should be the clarion call to all of us in 2017 that idolatry can play no role in the believer's life. You do so at our own peril. You and I do so at our own peril. You know, we like to preach about idols in the life of the church because there are so many. But here's one. It's called busyness. I'm so busy. Have you ever met this kind of parent? The parent who has a full-time job, is active in her civic club, is an officer at her son's PTA, finds the time to lead her daughter's Girl Scout troop, can find the time to join her co-workers' movie club, and always finds the time each week to work in her garden in her backyard. But sadly, when asked by a church-going neighbor to attend her church, our busy parent answered, "She just can't find the time in her very busy schedule." Jesus' temptations remind us all that we're all exposed to running away from the Heavenly Father's will. All of us do that. But remember how Jesus said no to the devil. For each temptation, he stood on the words from Scripture, and he refused to give in to selfishness, desire, and power. When Satan comes knocking on your door and mine, may we be as faithful and obedient as our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, Janine. Will you join me in prayer? Gracious Lord, thank you so very much for your son Jesus, who knew how to say no to some very seductive temptations. Lord, give us your Holy Spirit that we can do the same. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.